How you doing?
Good. How you doing? How's everything out there?
Good. Tom Kirkland here. Good. We're actually fired up to talk a little baseball, which is a little unusual, but we have, you know, we have the two major college teams here involved,
yeah.
as you know better than I. But we'll get to that. Okay. Sweet. Okay. Just let me roll in and. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Morning Drive with TK here on ESPN 960. It's a great occasion when we get a chance to tap into a national guy with a following and an attitude and a track record. Certainly Ryan McGee with ESPN, the magazine, ESPN.com, has his own show co-hosting Marty and McGee Saturday afternoons on ESPN Radio. I'm sure you've heard that. You can hear it right here on ESPN 960 after our guys rip it up with Sports Saturday. Ryan, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us here on the Morning Drive.
No, absolutely. That's one of my favorite parts of the country. I just never get to go out there.
Yeah, well, I feel the same way about the Southeast. I was in Atlanta on and off with CNN for many years, and you'll like this. I grew up in New York, and I discovered NASCAR when I went to CNN in Atlanta. I realized, what are these guys? They're driving left and turning, you know, turning left, driving fast, and all that. And then I became cultured, and I'm like, I love the sport now. So
yeah, no, and that's what I kind of tell everybody is what you figured out, which is if I always say, if I can get you to the racetrack,
right,
and then if I can get you into a car, like, you know, the Richard Petty driving experience, mm-hmm. a different race, if I can get you into a car, you don't have to like it, but you'll never look at it the same way again.
I went out to Miller Motorsports Park years ago when they had an event, and Jazz Bear, the mascot, got me, and he was driving now. He's driving this this NASCAR, this stock car, and I'm in there, and he's got the full head on, you know, and he's driving, and he's going like he's pushing it, the guy, because he knows how to drive. And I'm like, what are you doing? And I go, can you see? And he's looking at me, and he goes, no, I can't really see much. And I go, that's lap one, that's the exit. And he goes, sorry, we're going three.
Awesome. Well, you're braver than I am. If I've ever done that, I've always made sure, like, the guy driving is like an actual race car driver, and usually has a helmet on and not a head. So yeah, good for you.
Yeah, well, I was strapped in and harnessed, and I couldn't have moved anyway. But and he didn't tell me. You know, he lied to me, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So the thing I love about your story, Ryan, is that you know, you're the quintessential, like, guy 22 years ago started with the ESPN production staff, and I got my start too in production at CNN. And just talk about your experience climbing up through the ranks, and man, you get respect that way, don't you?
Yeah, and I always say that, you know, there's no one, very few people get to do it the way we've done it.
Right.
They tell you as soon as you walk in the door and you're in production, well, you're never going to be on air, so just give that up.
Yep.
And, you know, and it took a long time. But I really believe, you know, when I worked to work for ESPN right out of college, working on SportsCenter, and I always felt like it was a huge advantage. I'd worked in local television.
Right.
You know, you got to schlep equipment and go cover high school football games. And I feel the same way about, you know, I think it helps me, at least I believe it helps me as a reporter,
sure,
having been a field producer, because, mm-hmm. I try to be low maintenance, man. When I was a producer, I just would lay my head down at night and pray to television Jesus, please just send me a reporter that will do what I tell him to do.
Yep.
And so when I go out on in the field, I'm going to Indy 500 in the morning. When I go out in the field with field producers, or if I'm in the studio, I just, you know, those guys have put in so much, men and women put in so much work, I just want to make sure I do their hard work justice.
That's so well said, and for me, it was just understanding how hard the editors work, and I edited before I got
everybody
on the air at CNN.
Yeah,
you realize each step of the way, you know, they affect what you're going to do on the air, and knowing what they're doing and how hard it is on deadline and all that. Yeah, absolutely. Well, congratulations on your rise, and now you're kind of at the top, looking around every Saturday and every day, really, when you're creating content for the magazine. Well, let's start right there at the 500. You're heading over. I mean, that's going to be a dream, another opportunity at the old Brickyard. Tell me what jumps out at you this year.
Well, I mean, this is the centennial race, you know, or the 100th race.
Right.
You know, it's a little confusing because the first race was in 1911. And in 2011, one of my all-time favorite days at work, you know, they had the centennial celebration. Well, you know, they shut the place down during World War I and World War II, so this is the 100th race, and this is going to be, it's going to be unbelievable. And, you know, there's a sense of the timing is perfect because, listen, A.J. Foyt and Parnelli Jones and Alan Unser Sr., you know, the legends, you know, those guys aren't getting any younger. Right. And just in the last couple of years, particularly A.J. Foyt started to have some health issues. So there's a real sense of timing. You know, the build-up to this reminds me a lot of, you know, I have a hanging in my office, I have a poster of, you know, the 1999 All-Star, Major League All-Star game at Fenway. And, of course, that was when they brought out the All-Century team, and Ted Williams came out in the golf cart, and Ted Williams was gone, you know, well, within a year. So I think that there's a sense of great timing on this. And I'm a history guy, and obviously I'm a motorsports guy. So there's nowhere on planet Earth that I would rather be on Sunday morning at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, because I think it's going to be a celebration like we haven't ever seen. And I also think that just the way these cars are practicing and the way these drivers, I mean, this is a great, super talented field. I think there is the potential to be an incredible race, even for people who don't watch auto racing and just tune into this race every year.
Well, you know, I'm in that group, but I've become educated over the years, but there's still nothing like getting up, and it's a staple of your weekend, that special weekend when you're like, yeah, I'm gonna see what's going on at Indy. And whether you tune in for the beginning or the end or you DVR'd or whatever, I think we're all there at the end to see what happens. And it's you can't replicate it.
Right, and we just had the Kentucky Derby, you know, a few weeks ago, and that's what I always compare it to, you know, which is, you know, and it's not even so much about the event. I tell everybody, you know, we're going on the air on ABC at 11 a.m. Eastern, and I tell everybody, get up, you know, out there in your part of the world, get up in the morning and watch, because to me, the best stuff is going to be the stuff leading up to the green flag, because it's going to be a, you know, there are traditions. There, you know, again, it's like Kentucky Derby. There are traditions there, certain things you sing, certain things you do at a certain minute after every hour. This is what everybody does. And for people who live and grew up in Indianapolis, this is just part of their daily lives. It's part of their calendar. You know, it's Christmas and it's Easter and it's the Indy 500 and then it's summertime. And so this just, it really is. It's a great American tradition, whether you care about auto racing or not.
No doubt about it. He's Ryan McGee with ESPN The Magazine, ESPN Radio. Of course, you hear him Saturdays, Marty and McGee, Saturday afternoons on ESPN Radio, right after Sports Saturday here on ESPN 960. Let's talk a little baseball. The Utes and Cougars both involved in very meaningful situations right now. BYU's a little more defined, win and you're in. For the Utes, and remarkable, you're 17-10 in the Pac-12, but you know, they're upside down, 24-28 overall. So this series with Washington, they got to win it. I mean, this is their opportunity because really, I mean, I read your column and you know, they might get in if it's, but it's a real hard sell for them to get in.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even if you are, and it's crazy to think about, even if, you know, I think if they take two out of three, they're okay. If they lose two out of three, they'll end up tied for the Pac-12 championship with Washington, who they're hosting this weekend. And it's crazy because, you know, can you imagine being the co-Pac-12 champion and not getting into the tournament? Yeah. And there's a real chance that could happen. You know, the selection committee is really – this is something that's funny. Ray Tanner, of course, was a great coach at the University of South Carolina, won a couple of College World Series. He's the athletic director at South Carolina now. It's just an hour and a half from my house here in Charlotte. And so I was talking to Coach Tanner about, you know, there are some interesting situations, and he immediately started talking about Utah. And I think that's just, and really honestly, the whole West Coast. It's been a crazy year for West Coast, just Mountain and West baseball. And so, who's going to host regionals? You know, there are a lot of teams that, quite honestly, probably aren't worthy of hosting a regional next weekend when the tournament starts, but they will because someone out there has got to host one. And so, yeah, for Utah, I mean, it's pretty simple, you know, win two out of three and you're okay. But the way their year has gone, I think we know that it probably will be anything but simple.
Yeah, no doubt. And then for BYU, it is the path is really clear. They're in the West Coast Conference Championships, just four teams. It's BYU and Gonzaga tomorrow night in the afternoon. It's Mary's and Pepperdine. And for the Cougars, I mean, I'm feeling like you win the first one, you get into Saturday. I think they got a great shot to get in. Obviously, if they win the tournament, no problem there. If they lose tomorrow, then it gets really dicey.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think if they were to win the first, listen, there's only four teams in the tournament, and three, you know, as of right now, would be in our, you know, ESPN when we do our projections of the field of 64. All three would be in, but that of course is before the tournament, and someone's going to have to lose the games, and someone's going to have to win the game. So yeah, if you're BYU, if you were to take care of business on the first night against a good team, and then you were to take care of business, if you won two, I think they're fine.
Right.
But certainly, the best thing to do if you're the Cougars is just go on and you know, win every game you have to play and win that tournament and get that automatic bid.
Is them hosting a regional at all possible, or does the Sunday no play take that away? How does that play out?
Well, you know, the way that it works is I think they'd be willing to work around it. I don't think it helps, but I think that at the same time, I think there's a chance, and I think what helps them is that, you know, they need to pull for Pac-12 chaos. Honestly, if you're BYU, if you're Long Beach State,
that's no problem here. By the way, you know that they're pulling for trouble in the Pac-12 is not new to BYU fans.
That is not a problem. Yeah, no, I get it. No, it's but I'm telling you, that's what you need to root for, and that's if you're BYU, if you're Long Beach State, if you're anyone who thinks you might have an outside chance. You know, there are teams that will get regionals this year that in years past it wouldn't have even been considered. And the reason is because what I talk about. You know, everybody in your part of the world, from the mountains to the coast, it's just been wacko. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that helps, teams that would honestly in the other year would be a bubble team. It's going to take a lot of help, to be honest with you, for them to host one. But I think right now anyone who has a chance to win a conference tournament this weekend, particularly in that part of the world, they don't need to completely rule that out.
Okay. And this is a team that, you know, started 18-1 and they were ranked, everybody knows, and then ran into a bunch of injuries, their pitching staff decimated. And then, they've managed to battle, and they took 5 out of 6. They swept Santa Clara at the end and, you know, to tie for the top, and they're right there. Does that hurt them that they had? I mean, they came back and played better competition in the back half. The 18-1 start, and then right around 500 at the backside. Does that hurt, or is it still in front of them to play? I guess win 5 out of 6, and then win 2 in the tournament, and that's the case, right? That's the case you made.
Yeah, and I think honestly, and the good news for BYU is guys like Ray Tanner are in the room, and there's a lot of coaches in that room. Ray Tanner has every coach's role. He was talking to me about the fact that, you know, you have to be as educated as possible, and it's not like basketball. You know, every game's not on television, and you got to work if you really want to know what people are doing. And so I think in that case, it helps if you're BYU. I mean, I wrote about BYU at the beginning of the year when they were about a month into the season. You know, if they're on everyone's radar early in the year, I think it absolutely helps, because what coaches know. I mean, there's a 30 for 30 on ESPN coming about Warren Morris in LSU, when, of course, the greatest play in the history of the College World Series, his home run in 96. And we were talking to Skip Bertman, the coach, about it, and he said, listen, you know, I want to be really good in February, and if everybody gets hurt and we struggle through April, all I want to do is I want everybody back by the time we hit June. But the point is you go into the season and you get those headlines like BYU did and win some big games like they did, and then, you know, if you check out for a little while and you go through your struggles, but here they are rallying at the right time of the year, you know, coaches love that, because coaches know – the storyline. They've all lived it. And it's just, you just got to be in position for the postseason. And so I think it helps BYU all that early in the year. And I think it helps that they've got coaches in the room making these decisions on that selection committee.
I got to ask, and this may be from left field, but everything around here ends up being about BYU and Utah. Is there any shot? Does this committee have a sense of humor, like sometimes the NCAA, the March Madness selection committee with the sense of humor? Would they put BYU and Utah, assuming the Utes get in and the Cougars get in, would they have some fun with that somewhere?
Well, for what it's worth, if I was on the select committee, I'd do that before we even got started. I mean, I just think that would be awesome, you know. And as a fan, I want to see it. You know, it's funny, growing up in the Southeast.
Same things, yeah.
I love that rivalry. Yep. I love it. And I love it on all levels. And so I want to see it anywhere I can get it. But that being said, I think that they absolutely will make pairings in regionals based on buzz and based on ticket sales, because baseball needs that. You know, baseball needs the attention, and it needs games on big stages. And, you know, with ESPN and all of our platforms, we televise them all one way or the other. But, yeah, I mean, in my part of the world, when we have so many teams that seem like they get into postseason every year, you know, it makes sense to send Clemson to Coastal Carolina, you know, every now and then, like they did a few years ago. Or send, you know, North Carolina, I remember one year, probably should have hosted a regional or super regional, had to go to South Carolina. Well, that was in the winter, that was going to go to the College World Series. So they absolutely have a sense of the drama. I don't think that's what steers the main steering wheel for their decisions, but I think it absolutely factors in.
The full disclosure here, my wife is a Gator, so I don't know where you are on the hate Gator versus not. But so Billy Donovan, we've been watching what he's done, And to me, it's one of the great untold stories of this NBA season. He's gone in, used the season as a lab, figured stuff out, put the ball in Westbrook's hands, said, you're the guy, don't worry about it. He's been unbelievable with his rotation. They're playing better defense. Right now, they're the best team in the world. I mean, at this moment, yeah. They've taken 6 out of 7 from the Spurs and Warriors back-to-back now, which is crazy. So your sense of what Donovan is doing at this level, are you at all surprised at how quickly he seems to have mastered the egos?
Well, first of all, I'm a Tennessee alum, so that tells you where I am on the Florida thing. But no, I'm a big fan. I love what Donovan's done. I was always completely blown away with what he did, you know, at Florida, and certainly what he's done now. Now, listen, they're the best team in the league, and for all you know, we were all geniuses. What, 5 days ago, right?
Yeah, right.
And listen, I live in Charlotte. I mean, I used to see Steph Curry.
When he was
a little kid, you know, pitching fits at Walmart, trying to get his dad to buy him a toy. I mean, that's how long I've known about Steph Curry.
That's a great story.
And listen, he's amazing. And I've literally watched him grow up. And of course, he went to school at Davidson, just north of where I live. But listen, the Warriors were the best team in the league about 3 weeks ago. They're not anymore.
I know.
And you know, LeBron James might have been the best player in the NBA about 5 days ago. He's not anymore. And so I just think that what they're doing in Oklahoma City is amazing. Now, if I'm in the NBA front office, I'm probably not super jazzed about the Oklahoma-Toronto finals.
No,
we might be headed for.
Those are numbers you're not going to love.
But listen, as a basketball fan, though, and just as a fan of coaching, like you're talking about Donovan, I'm completely blown away. And it goes to what we were just saying about, you know, baseball. You know, the great coaches, they don't sweat, you know, February.
The small
stuff.
What they
worry about is they worry about what do we look like at the end of May. And that's they're looking pretty good right now.
Just one more thought. I know I got to let you go here, but Road to Omaha, one of your books, hits hopes and history at the College World Series. Then there's ESPN Ultimate NASCAR, 100 defining moments in stock car racing history. I mean, that whole experience of both of those must have been just transcendent for you, Ryan McGee. What's next? Well, I know you're working on something.
Well, the problem is trying to get books sold these days. You know, everybody has great ideas.
Right.
I got a couple things cooking, and I appreciate you bringing those books up.
Sure.
You know, I'm a sucker for great stories, and to me, the great stories are within the history of the sport.
Absolutely.
You know, that book I wrote in 2009 about the College World Series, I joke about it being a worst seller, but within the college baseball world, I still hear about it,
yep.
And it means a lot because that book is really a love letter to the College World Series, which I'm so excited to go there, no matter what teams are there, when I get there about a month from now, and particularly to Rosenblatt Stadium, where they played that for so long. And so, listen, I love great venues, and I love history, and so when you're talking about places like the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and Rosenblatt Stadium and even TD Ameritrade or Daytona or whatever, you know, I say it all the time, Marty and I say it all the time on our show, we can't believe they send us paychecks sometimes to go do this stuff. And so don't tell anybody. Maybe they don't realize they're doing
it. We're all in that same community, Ryan. I mean, we get paid for doing stuff we love and talking about stuff. And sometimes, you know, my opinions are not nearly as sharp as our listeners, but that's okay. They're paying me, and I'll keep spouting it out. And once in a while, I'll have a take that actually works. Like Billy Donovan. I think I'm ahead of the curve on him. Yeah, in the NBA, anyway.
Yeah. Isn't it a great thing when you've been saying something and everyone says you're an idiot? Hey, Russell Wilson's my guy. I used to sit on these shows with all these NFL players on ESPN and say, I'm telling you, Russell Wilson's going to be great. And they're all, he's too short and he's too slow and he's a baseball player. And as soon as he won the Super Bowl, you know I texted everybody and said, hey, you remember that time you called me an idiot? So,
yeah.
So we got to go with whatever we can go with.
Oh, man, it ain't bragging if you've already told them about it a year ago, right?
Yeah, and it ain't bragging if you're usually wrong. When you finally get one right, you should be allowed to brag.
Me too. I'm right there. Ryan McGee, ESPN The Magazine senior writer, co-host Marty and McGee Saturday afternoons, right after our guys here with Sports Saturday here on ESPN 960. Thanks so much. Had a lot of fun talking to you. Continued success. We'll be reading and following you. Keep it up.
Hey, you too. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. That was great. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, man. That was a good time. And, let me know if you guys – my schedule's wacko, but if you guys ever want to do it again, let me know.
Okay, yeah. Make a note so when we talk to your people, you know, it's about your people. It's hard getting right to you because you're big, but getting your people, yep. Just let us know that ESPN 960 in Salt Lake, good people. All right?
I think Gracie Blackburn, who your folks dealt with, she's the best.
Okay,
so
great.
You guys ever need anything, she can get to me in about 2 seconds.
Okay. We'll make sure
right,
we work with Gracie. Thank you a lot. Appreciate it.
Right, appreciate
bye-bye.
It.
Yep. Okay. Hey, everybody, it's the Morning Drive with... I don't know why I wear these, but... Hey, everybody, it's Tom with the Morning Drive here on ESPN 960 coming up Thursday. Well, it's pre-Friday. Weekend's almost here. What a show. Our checkup from the neck up, our weekly check-in with our mental strength coach, Dr. Craig Manning. He's here to talk about all things BYU. Bill Bender with the sporting news, college football insights, talking about the Big 12 meetings coming up next week. Huge for Cougar Nation. And Ryan McGee, yeah, that guy, ESPN the magazine, ESPN Radio's Ryan McGee joins us to talk about BYU and Utah baseball. Could they meet in the NCAA tournament? We'll see. Morning Drive with TK Thursday. It's pre-Friday. Make sure you join us, ESPN 960. Hey, gang, it's TK with the Morning Drive here on ESPN 960. Coming up Thursday, Craig Manning, BYU. Hey, gang, it's TK with the Morning Drive here on ESPN 960. Coming up Thursday, it's pre-Friday, almost the weekend. We got you covered. Craig Manning, our mental strength coach, professor of sports psychology at BYU, joins us. Bill Bender, sporting news heavyweight, college football insight, looking ahead to the Big 12 meetings. Will they vote to expand? Ryan McGee, ESPN the magazine, ESPN radio, talking BYU Utah baseball. It's all here, Morning Drive with TK, ESPN 960, Thursday. Got a little long on the second one, but...